This is a fun morning. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let me just begin. I want to share a story with you. In the 3rd century, the Roman Empire was governed by the Emperor Claudius II. And like most emperors, Claudius wanted to maintain the empire's domination. So he set out to increase his armies with committed soldiers. But he ran into a problem. Many of the Roman men would not volunteer to join his army because it meant that they would have to leave their wives or their girlfriends behind. So Claudius figured out an answer to this problem. He issued an edict. He would ban marriage. So he banned marriage so that in order to conscript the young men into his army. And so he set out to do that. But what he didn't count on was a priest by the name of Valentine. Valentine believed that God created marriage and the family, and so Valentine kept on secretly performing marriage ceremonies for young lovers. And in the sanctuary where he served, Valentine would most often whisper the words of the ceremonies, all the while listening for soldiers' steps outside. One day, he heard footsteps, but it was too late. The couple he was marrying managed to escape, but Valentine was caught. And he was thrown in jail, and he was sentenced to death by beheading. From this point, the story varies a little bit, but one story has it that Valentine remained joyful while being imprisoned. And many young people came to visit Valentine in jail, and he even somehow pulled off performing ceremonies while he was in jail for these young couples. One of the visitors was his jailer's daughter, who would often visit Valentine, and they would sit and she would talk with him for hours and keep him company. And she believed that he did the right thing by ignoring the emperor and performing marriage ceremonies. And on the day that Valentine was to die, accounts have it that he left a note for this young girl, thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty to him. And he signed it, "Love from your Valentine." This is true. According to tradition, Valentine was beheaded on February 14th, around 270 A.D. 270 A.D. Who would have thought? So few really know that Valentine's Day is named after a priest who was martyred because he believed in God's creation of covenant marriage. And so I tell this story because the next couple weeks, you know, hey, it's February. It's love month, right? We're going to spend a couple of weeks focusing on marriage and how married couples can improve their marriages according to the scriptures. And so while you may not be married as a single person, you can learn some good principles about relationships in general, I'm sure, from these, at least this first message. So let's just pray. Lord, I just invite you to come and to be with us. Lord, you are with us, but I just pray that your manifest presence would come and your Holy Spirit would rest upon us, that we could just clear out everything, God, that we're thinking about, clear out everything but what you have to say to us. What is your word to us? What is the word of the Lord to us today? And so, Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just help us in this way. Lord, we're all weak. We're all damaged goods. We need your spirit. We need your power to live this thing called the Christian life, to have Christian marriage. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you mention the word marriage, often what comes to mind is making a vow. A vow is, by nature, a pledge that you make to someone with the deep intention to keep it, right? That's a vow. You make a pledge to someone, and you have this intention to keep this particular vow. And I want to share some vows that couples should make, can make, to one another that will help improve and deepen our marriage relationships. Are you ready? We're going to do this together, all right? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. If you have a Bible or it's on your phone, Ephesians 3. And I want to read you a prayer of Paul's, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? It's an excellent prayer. And I think it really confirms or supports this idea, this first vow that we have, and it's the vow of discipleship. It's the vow of discipleship. What we sometimes forget is that marriage is a spiritual relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. And it works best when both husband and wife are connected individually with God. Amen? And God, how many know God is very passionate and intentional about you and his love and me? He wants us to know him personally. He wants us to experience his love. And getting connected is just the first step. And most of us know that we do that by confessing our need of Jesus as our Savior. True? We know that that's the first step and inviting him to be the leader of our life, the supreme leader of our lives. That's what we do when we invite Jesus to come and be our Savior. We're saying, I'm no longer in control. I'm no longer the one leading my life. I invite you to lead my life. I need you to lead my life. And so that's the first step. But the scriptures talk repeatedly about staying vitally connected to Christ. You remember that scripture that talks about he is the vine, we are the branches. We have to keep connected, you know, to Jesus. And so for husbands and wives, this is essential for having a good and an intimate and a beautiful marriage. This is essential. When we keep our relationship with Jesus current and we don't let it lapse, then he is constantly influencing the way we think, and he's helping us control our tempers. None of you have tempers. And he's helping us with our impatience, right? And he's helping us with our words. He's helping us to caution us with our words. You know, and so when we keep our lives in Jesus current, he helps us in our relationships and in our marriages. How many have found that to be true? When we lapse in taking care of our own soul, we start to focus on changing our partner's soul. And we get a little pharisaical in our prayers. Right? Oh Lord, I pray that you would make my wife to see the error of her ways. That she would see things my way, which is the right way, and be as spiritual as I am. I pray that she would see the light and become as discerning and spiritually sharp like I am. And I pray that in your great wisdom you would see fit to make her just like I am. For I am pure in heart, and I am holy in all my motives. And I am free from any kind of manipulation. Oh, that she would do everything I want her to do, Lord. Oh, Lord, cause her to be the perfect Christian just like me. And then we will be complete, for I have attained the highest degree of spousalhood. Now, obviously, this is a tongue-in-cheek prayer. We all have a lot of room for development, don't we? We all have a lot of room for growth in our lives. We have a lifetime of spiritual growth, God willing. It's not our responsibility to bring about spiritual change in other people, even our spouse. Especially our spouse. That's God's responsibility to change your partner. The bottom line is this. When the character of Jesus is growing within you, it will spill out into your marriage and you will find yourself treating your spouse the way in which God intends you to. Every day we need to visit this first vow of discipleship. Vow number one. Let's see it on the screen. Vow number one. Lord, I vow today to get to know you better and live my life in a way that pleases you. That's the first vow. If you want a good and beautiful and happy marriage, this is the first vow you need to make, the vow of discipleship. Lord, I vow today to get to know you better and live my life in a way that pleases you. Now, the question then becomes, are both of you, if you're married today, hopefully you're sitting beside each other. If you're not, we have bigger problems, right? If you're married, are you both allowing Christ, are you both allowing Jesus to control and to guide and to empower your entire lives? That's the question. That's the question that we need to ask. That's vow number one, the vow of discipleship. But secondly, and this shouldn't be a surprise when I say this, that in America, we have a contract-oriented society. How many know that's true? It's all about contracts. Contracts have something very attractive. It's called loopholes. It's called bailout options. And this contract orientation has influenced men and women and their view of marriage. And the modern approach to marriage is to focus on personal rights and needs. I deserve to be happy. I've heard this so many times. I'm entitled to have my needs met. If this relationship causes or ceases to give me what I want, if it gets tough, if it gets really boring, I can walk away. Right? I can get out. And that's the contract orientation that a lot of people approach their marriages. And so society has developed this view of marriage that's based on self-gratification. It's a commitment that's based on convenience. If it's convenient, I'm committed. If it's not convenient, then I can walk out. I can get out. And, you know, the entire Bible is an account of God entering into and keeping not a contract, but a covenant vow with the people that he's chosen to love. God enters into a covenant, into a vow, in a covenant vow. Think about, he entered into a covenant with Abraham. And he held fast to that covenant all throughout Israel's history. God did. Now, Israelites weren't so great on keeping that covenant, were they? But God did. And you know, Genesis 2, God invites Adam and Eve to enter into a covenant marriage together. For this reason, you remember this? A man shall will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become what? One flesh. One flesh. And so when you enter a covenant marriage, you're saying, I'm yours by covenant, and you are mine by covenant, and neither of us is going anywhere. Covenantal love is a tenacious love that says, I'll never let go, I'll never give up, I'll never quit. That's what covenant love says. I'll never let go, I'll never give up, I'll never quit. I'll never quit. Now, there's a warning, though. We need to be warned. Even if a marriage begins in covenant, it can degenerate into a contractual arrangement, can it? Our attitudes can degenerate towards one another. And it can become, I'll do my part if what? If you'll do yours. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. And then it results into a contract and not a covenant. And we need to keep tabs on our relationship as married couples and ask ourselves the question, is our marriage based on contract or is our marriage based on covenant? It's a good question. It's probably the most important question, because how we answer the question determines how we approach our marriage. It determines how hard we work on the marriage. It determines how we view and see our spouse. And so, is our marriage based on contract or is it based on covenant? And so to improve our marriages, we need to wake up every day and celebrate. How many know we don't celebrate enough? We don't celebrate near enough in our lives. We need to have more celebrations. Hello? You're like, okay. I'm like, really? Come on. You know, we need to have more celebrate. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. The scripture says, wake up from your slumber. We need to wake up and celebrate the covenant that we made with our spouse. Every day. Every day. And so here's the second vow right here. The second vow, number two. Vow number two. It's a vow of covenant. Lord, I thank you that you have united us together for life. I vow to never let go, never give up, never give in. I'm not going anywhere. What a great prayer to say every day, right? What a great prayer even to join hands with your spouse. Pray this vow. Pray this covenant, right? This vow of covenant. And so, Lord, I never let go. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to give in. I want you to think about this for a moment before we move on. By God's design, life's two most intimate and sacred relationships are salvation and marriage. They are entered into and maintained on the basis of covenant. On the basis of covenant. Salvation and marriage. Think about that. All right. Now, there's a third way to improve our marriages, and it's to reaffirm what I call a vow of priority. And we are to concentrate all of our affection and all of our attention on each other. And Philippians chapter 2 helps us with that. You can turn there. It's chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3, it says these words, do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, this is the way of Jesus, isn't it? This is the example of Jesus. And this is the way Jesus did life. And he calls us to the same kind of life. Living with this level of unselfishness and humility. That's not just for the context of the church, right? It's not just for the context of reaching out to unchurched people. I mean, this command to not be selfish and self-centered, to be other-centered, is meant for our marriage relationship as well, isn't it? And so each couple must learn to eliminate selfishness. Boy, we're so inclined towards it, aren't we? We lean that way. We lean in that direction so, so easily. And selfish is the root of taking another for granted. Selfishness, and once we take each other for granted, then the serving stops and the demands increase, don't they? once we take each other for granted and we begin to make demands instead of being willing to serve each other. And so to improve your marriage, wake up each day and renew this third vow. This is the third vow that will help us as married couples. I vow to serve my wife or my husband with humility and with no thought of receiving anything in return. There's a vow. It's the vow of priority. My wife is my priority. I will serve her with no thought of any return. I will serve her because I love her. Because I'm committed. Because I'm never going to give up, never give in, never quit. She can't get rid of me. It's a win for your marriage if you're both trying to outserve one another. It's a win-win if you both are outserving each other, trying to outserve each other. You can't lose in your marriage if you both are trying to do all that you can to serve each other. You can't lose. The vow of discipleship, the vow of covenant, the vow of priority. But finally, there's one more, and there was a couple who weren't talking to one another. They'd been arguing, none of you. Neither of them were budging. Neither of them wanted to apologize or forgive each other. And they lived in the country, and they were driving into the city. And on their way into town, the husband spotted two mules on the other side of the fence, on the side of the road. And for the first time in 3 weeks, he spoke to his wife, and he pointed to the mules, and he said, "Some of your relatives?" And she says, "Yes, by marriage." Back into the silence they went. Right? What are we talking about? We're talking about the vow of forgiveness. If we want to improve our marriage, we need to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And I want to share a scripture with you from Colossians. It's actually from Eugene Peterson's version, Message version of the Bible. Listen carefully to these words. They may be on the screen. Yeah, I see that. But listen carefully to these words. Colossians 3, verse 12. "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly as and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it." Now, sometimes we have old shirts that we don't want to get rid of, right? We have old nightgowns, old sweatpants that we've had for decades that we really should have thrown away a long, long time ago, but we still wear them. If you have that, you know one, you have that? I've got a couple of those, right? And they're not anything to look at. In fact, they're just downright ugly. But we're comfortable in them. We're comfortable in them. And sometimes in marriages, we behave and we treat one another in ways that are ugly. Just downright ugly. We're quick-tempered. We hold on to offenses and we hold on to grudges. We hold things over our spouses and we bring them up to make them feel bad or to vindicate ourselves and make ourselves feel better. But the reality is it really doesn't make us feel a lot better, does it? We respond to our spouse in very unkind ways sometimes. And we have very little compassion or patience for them. And God says to you, I've picked out a new wardrobe for you and your spouse. It's a coat of compassion. It's a coat of kindness. It's a coat of forgiveness. That's the new wardrobe that I have picked out for you. You know, if we want to improve our marriages, we need to wake up every morning with this vow on our hearts. Vow number 4, I will vow to dress my soul with a coat of forgiveness and freely extend forgiveness to my spouse and freely receive forgiveness from them. When we do this, we keep love alive. We keep it alive. The vow of discipleship. The vow of covenant, the vow of priority, the vow of forgiveness. No married couple, listen, no married couple says, my goal is to have a bad marriage. No married couple sets out that. No married couple says that. Every couple has a desire to have a marriage that's fulfilling, that's full of peace and life and joy. Don't you? Don't you want to have a marriage that's full of peace and life and joy? No married couple says, I'm setting out to mess this thing up. No. The good news is that we can have a marriage that's based on covenant, based on these vows. And as we commit to making the vow of discipleship and committing to a lifelong pursuit of knowing Jesus and living to please Him, as we commit to making the vow of covenant and committing to our spouse that we'll never let go and never give in and never give up, as we commit to this vow of priority and we commit to serving our wife or husband with humility, with no thought of ever getting any return on that, as we commit ourselves to making the vow of forgiveness and we dress our souls and we dress all of our days that we spend together with this coat of forgiveness, we can experience a joy-filled, happy marriage. We can experience that. And a marriage that God wants you to have. That's the marriage that God wants us to have. And so these vows are great reminders. And I think we're going to post them everywhere we can, I think. We need to post them. Post them on your bathroom mirror. Right? Everywhere you can, post these vows. Now, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come today to speak to us as husbands and wives. So would you just, let's just dial in to what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. There's no question that there might be parts of our relationship that are broken, bruised, cracked, however you want to say it. There's no question, Lord, that there's room for growth, room for advance in our married relationships. So, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come, press upon us these vows. This is what I invite you to do, just with your eyes closed. If you feel like that you need to reaffirm any of the vows that I mentioned today, any of them, I want you to just, I just invite you to grab your spouse's hand. And just to reaffirm that you're going to commit to make these vows to help improve your marriage. As just an act of surrendering, I just invite you to either stand where you're at or even maybe just step out into the aisle. You want to reaffirm. You want to commit to these vows. Just hold hands. Yeah. Maybe you're a newly married couple and you really want these vows to be woven into your marriage. I just invite you to stand. Hold hands. Nice. Maybe you're about to be married. You want to invite Jesus to set the tone of your future marriage. I think maybe Kayla, she's back there. Okay. God, help us to be faithful in these vows. Help us, God, to put these in play in our lives, in our relationship. Help us to have the priority of discipleship. Help us to be covenanted together, knowing that we're in this together forever. Help us with this vow of forgiveness. And humble service. No thought of return. Strengthen, deepen our friendship, our relationship with one another. That it might be something that pleases your sight. Now, some of you have a spouse that's really not interested in God, and I understand that. And you come by yourself, and I just invite you to stand. So that God can really help you in how to relate to your unchurched spouse. And that you would have the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. So if you feel led to, just stand right where you're at. Place Jesus as the foundation of our marriage. The winds may come, the storms may come up, but we can remain solid and sure. We can remain standing in faith and standing in covenant with each other. That's reality. That's the truth. So God, just bless all married couples today. Bless them. Let them see the importance of making these vows. Let them see the importance walking with you as they walk together through life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go make some vows today. Be blessed.